Let us begin this service by singing 229, the first and the second stanza, 229. How lovely the Lord of hosts to me, the tabernacles of thy grace. Oh, how I long, yea, fain to see thy hallowed courts, thy dwelling place. 229:1-2. First, we will read to you the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The further we will read to you from God's holy word, the first epistle of Paul to Timothy, the first chapter. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest shut some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which ministers questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having sweared have turned aside into vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and mothers, and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor, an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory for ever and ever. Amen. This year I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before unto thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith, having made shipwreck. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it is for the third time in this Sabbath day that we open our sinful lips unto thee to ask for an undeserved and so necessarily blessing, as travelers to the great and ever-ending eternity, where we are brought under the preaching of thy precious word and testimony, that it may please thee to strengthen and sustain in speaking and in hearing, making room in our hearts for that only name which is given under heaven, whereby that we must be saved. That thy word and testimony for all of us, young and old, great and small, for the first time or by renewing, that it was in power of the unto salvation, a lamp for our feet and a light upon our path. Lord, look upon us in mercy from on high. There is in us nothing that can ever please thee. Well, is there everything in us that thou shalt hide thy face from us and withdraw thyself from us because we are sinners and our whole life that is wrong? It is not against one of the commandments, but we have sinned against all the commandments and come short of the glory of God. Oh, make us sinners before thee and bring us to that fountain that is opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem against sin and uncleanness, that we are washed and cleansed in the blood of the Lamb, reconciled with God, and restored into that fellowship and communion with the Father, and that his fatherly love may fill our heart, and that on our travels to eternity, that faith wrought by the Spirit in our heart, that it may be strengthened in this evening, our hope enlivened, and that also the love of God may increase in our soul, and that we follow thee in every way, submit ourselves to thy will, and under thy mighty hand humble us together. Remember us with children and grandchildren, and look upon us in mercy, and give us a visit from on high in this evening, making thy word precious to our soul, sanctify it to our hearts, and that the riddles may unriddle for thy people, and that we receive a blessing, that we never shall forget in our life a blessing that shall go with us to eternity, to honor and to praise and triumph God as a source and cause of all blessings and of all salvation. Those that cannot gather with us, remember them in mercy. Those that have no desire, give them desire before that it shall be too late forever and ever. The widows, orphans, and widows, strengthen them in their lonesome life. Remember the boys in the service and in the battlefield and in the camps, and where that they are, look upon them from on high. Strengthen all those who are in the different hospitals, some for so many weeks and months already, oh Lord. Encourage them and remember them, and that all those dealings be to the welfare of the soul. Strengthen all thy servants over the whole world, called and anointed by thee. Increase their number graciously, and that we also in this evening receive strength from on high, to speak the word of God with all boldness, with freedom and liberty, and that we receive for our own soul some of the fruit thereof. Strengthen and sustain each and every one, remembering all the needs and all the ones personally, in our families, for the country, for the church, and supply the needs out of the fullness of Christ with the pardoning and remission of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 163. 163. O God, O Lord, my God, most earnestly my heart would seek thy face within thy holy house once more to see thy glorious grace. 163. This evening I ask your attention for a little while for the consideration of the 11th Lord's Day question 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek the salvation and happiness of saints of themselves or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet indeed they deny Jesus the only deliverer and savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Thus far, we have heard last week in the morning that Christ is the perfect, that Christ is the only Savior of sinners, and if we are privileged in our life to become a sinner, then that Savior that shall be no longer concealed for us. Then he shall reveal himself in our heart as that only name that is given under heaven, whereby that we must be saved. Now, this last question of the Lord's Day 11, that speaks about the salvation which is only in Christ. And in the first place, you can well realize that our fathers, when they make that question, that they in the first place refer to the Roman Church. Because in the Roman Church, they will well honor the Lord Jesus, but the doctrine and the teaching is that we need someone as an intercessor. When you come in contact with such people and you would say to them, you deny Jesus as Savior, then you can have a big fight with them, because then they would say, no, we honor the Savior as that you do, but he is so holy and he is so undefiled that we need someone that leads us to that Savior. We have well to realize that the Roman Church, they are asking not for replacement or substitution, but well for some addition or replenishment and completion, because Christ alone cannot do it. In other words, to make it clear to you, they desire a certain cooperation. The whole religion that is, that the Lord have to do something, but we have also to do something. Thus Jesus is doing something, and we must do something. They are seeking salvation by the saints. And they call forth an intercessor in the religion that is, especially the mother of Jesus, that is Mary. And then they are seeking salvation also by himself. In what respect, you would ask me, to make himself before the Lord of placed himself in such a condition by our works that the Lord can accept us. There is even in the Roman Church people, when they die, they have done more in their life as that it was necessary. And then they can help somebody else in regard to salvation. The doctrine of good works that is standing on the foreground in the Roman Church. And what are now the good works that they have to do in that church? Many prayers they send up to the Lord. They will do anything that is possible to flee away from the world. You have read that many times in the life of Luther and of other of that people, that they go into a cluster, that they have an separate life from the world. They were in the days even before Luther, people in the church. They call themselves saints of pillars. They were sitting upon pillars by the shore. And only when it was necessary a few times a day, they left those places, and then they came again back, because they have no desire that they were enmeddled and mixed up with the world. It goes so far even in the days of Luther, that people that wounded themselves many times, and then they did believe so firm that by doing those things that it helps them to enter into heaven. They are seeking salvation elders in other by some other ones. And that is by the priest, and that is also by the church, and that they offered up for them many mass in different circumstances in their life. But of course our catechism, they cut that entirely off. When you read that question, then there is more involved that you will think. I shall read it once. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior who seek their salvation and happiness of saints, of themselves, of or anywhere else? Thus it is not only in regard to salvation that they place something before Christ or behind Christ. No, it is also for their daily life that they are looking for something else. In the Holland Catechism is the word welfare. And here we have the word happiness, and that refers here not to the eternal life, but that refers also to the life that they live here in this world. You know that in the Roman Church they have different kinds of saints. They have saints who have a certain authority over the fields and over the fruit of the fields and over everything that belongs to this temporal life. Thus they look to Jesus and to the saints not only for eternal things, but also for temporary things. But there was once a priest with the name of Eckhout, and they found after that he died in his papers, a little paper or a letter, that he wrote to his congregation. And he wrote there that they have asked him for the blessings of the field and of the harvest. But he wrote, I have well the power to give my blessing to you, and that you can work in the fields, but in regard to the fruit of your labors, I cannot do anything. That is only, as he wrote, in the hand of the great Creator. That man that was, in that respect, honest. And of course, now in the Catholic Church, there is much change in the days in which we are living. The Pope is realizing that more and more. That is the reason that they have now given or found a certain byway Because the principle they will stand by, they will not give that over. But they are now coming down to the year 1300, that they have also in that Roman church a certain order of deacons. And those deacons in those times could perform some labors and duties in the church. Now in England, and they start here too in the States, to institute again that order that was already in the year 1300. And those, that is all in regard to priests who will merit now. And of course it seems is impossible that they can withhold many priests from merit life. And out of fear that it shall get such a confusion in the church, they make now the decision to go back to 1300. It is only that those priests have no right to ask confession from the people, as they have done in former days. And they have also no right to offer up a mass. They are excluded from that. But so far as it comes to communion, administering of baptism, preaching, and officiating marriage in the church, and funerals, and speak on the graveyard, they have now that privilege to do that. But you can well realize that in regard to the principles, also the doctrine of good works, that there is no chasing in that doctrine. In the Netherlands it is very bad at the present time, so many priests that leave the church entirely. And it is in some places so far already that they have freedom now to stand on the pulpit of the Reformed churches. That is not in all the province, but in one province in Friesland, they have given that authority to those priests. You can well realize how far that the church goes down. And the question that comes up more and more, what shall after few years be left of the church? There comes more and more a union between the Protestant people and, as we call that, the Catholic people. The reason for that is that in general the people do not realize what the right and the true doctrine is. And of course, they are not concerned about that too. You can realize if you read the church papers also here in our country, how low that the church at the present time is come. And that there is a life with the Catholic and the Protestant, that they help one another now, even in preaching on the Sundays. They are building one church in one suburb of the city or in a city itself. And then they divide that with one another now. And why would we not do such things? Because we all have to accept them as brothers. We are all standing on the same level, that means in regard to the Bible and in regard to the confession. That Christ died for everybody, and that when we accept Christ, that it is all well for eternity, that is in general what they teach in the different churches. And if we give something to the Lord, and we give something to ourselves and to the world, then there is no objection and no doubt that when death come, that we shall not enter into heaven. We are all one, and the more and more feeling sad about it, that reformation have taken place. Luther was too sharp, and Calvin, he cut everything up, but that was because they had no insight in the right and in the true religion. Otherwise they have not done it. And he must fight for one purpose, and that is for a world church, for a church where everybody can bring in his own religion, and we have everyone to honor in their own religion, because in every religion we can be a Christian and we can enter into heaven. But you know that in the time of Arius, who denied Christ and who denied the Holy Spirit as a person who proceed from the Father and the Son, that when he was writing his confession, then that man that was so strong in his confession, that he made one article in which he said that all those who do not believe with their heart in the Trinity, they are lost and they are condemned. And that was what Athanasius wrote already in 325. And it is for us today, people, the same thing. It is too bad that we are living in a day of such confusion. I told you again already in the beginning that as soon as we become a sinner, then Christ shall reveal himself as that only Savior to our soul. That is a very simple and clear statement that I made for you this evening. But now it comes. Now it comes. We are well sinners in our confession, but we are not sinners in practice. Only when the Holy Spirit works that in our heart, and that he brings us as a sinner at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. By nature, we are all enemies of Christ. There is not one in the world and in the church that desire to be saved in the way that is appointed by the Lord. The rich young man, he go back. And you read in John 6 that thousands and thousands who had followed the Lord Jesus on account of the bread that he gave them, but later on, when he made the application of his sermon, saying that we have to eat his flesh and to drink his blood, then they all said, this saying is hard. Who can hear? And to be saved by that only Savior, there are thousands objections in our heart. Even congregation, the impression to be a sinner, and what it means to be a sinner, that is even for people that is sitting from the early days in the church, that is an impossibility that has penetrated our heart. I hope that I can explain that to you this evening very clear and simple. There is people in the church that is living not so peaceful. And what I mean with that is this. There is people that realize in their conscience, I am a sinner. I cannot die as a sinner. If death shall come today or tomorrow, what then? Then I have nothing to appear before the Lord. There is people for whom that sin is time and again a burden. I mean now with their conscience. They shall withdraw themselves from many things. Where other professors of the truth shall go easy to the lake on Sunday and to do other things what their fathers and mothers never had done, they cannot do that because their conscience that bothered them. And they have a certain satisfaction, I'll say a certain satisfaction, by going to the church. And really, it is a blessing that we are realizing that it is the day of the Lord and that it is here our place. It is in the houses also warm. Let it be a little warmer in the church as possible. But what is now an hour and a half in the church? Soon we come back and home, and we can make it easy in our homes. Thus, what shall that now bother us? But some people that thinks, oh, it is so hot. But tomorrow, if they can work 12 hours, and they are overpaid tomorrow evening, and even when it was 100 grades, I think they do it. Oh, yes, because then they say that morning. And then he can buy this and he can buy that. And if it goes to go out, then they are saying not that it is so warm and so hot. No. But of course, and it shall be people that cannot come, of course, on account of their bodies. We believe that too. That is in the winter with the cold and in the summer with the hot weather. There is people that cannot stand it. But we must always not think people in hell that it shall be different as here on Sunday evening. There is a fire that never be quenched. And there is a worm that never shall die. And here it is the place where we can be comforted and where we can receive some food for our soul as traveling to eternity. But now to come back to the question. This, I say there is people that live not so easy. I want that it was with everybody so. But now to see our sins in the light of the attributes of the Lord, to see our sins in the light of the holiness and the righteousness of the Lord, that is something else. I will give you this evening only one example. And that is that example that you find by the prophet Isaiah. And that is a very clear example for all of us. When he saw the Lord in the temple, and the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, with the glory of the Lord, then said I, Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of Lords. Isaiah, he saw his sins in the light of the attributes of the Lord. And if that takes place in our life, then we come to the consideration that we have not a place to stand on. And then it shall be our prayer, enter not into judgment with thy servant. Then we become a sinner. And he opening, he said in one sermon, that even the holiest men in the world, the holiest amongst God's people, that they are all standing guilty against all the commandments of the Lord. And now when we become a sinner, that we are, that we have nothing else than sin, then only the Lord Jesus that can save us. And he can wash and cleanse us with his blood from all our iniquities. But still it is so necessary that everything that we have in our mind and in our heart to find salvation with, we have to lose that. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote about his conversion, in Philippians 3, then he declares there that he came to a point in his life that all his grounds that he had before as a Pharisee, that it was that he lost it. There was nothing left in his life. And he counted all things done for the excellency of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is now by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I am talking not this evening to a Roman congregation, but I am speaking to a congregation that have heard the true religion from the early days. And still, even when we are Protestant, we have our saints too. And even when we are Reformed, we have also our mess. We have it too. How many that is leaning upon a father, a mother of one of God's children? And finally, to expect something of that people. And now it is true. You read in the Word of God that an effectual and a fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Really, while we are living congregation, seek the prayers of God's people. Ask them to pray for you. There is nothing against it. That is the way that the Lord had opened in his word. But of course, it avails much, but not everything. And that is the intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ at the right hand of his Father. And by nature and also in our religion, we are always seeking something in ourselves. Let I give you a simple example. We are all sinners, and we all have our character. We are wretched in ourselves. But if we have now as a day that it is not so bad inside, and that it is not so bad outside, that there fall not so hard words today in that day with your children or with your husband or with your wife, then we are so soon a Pharisee. Really, oh? And I have read yesterday van Luther, oh, it is so nice to study in the books of the people. And when Luther was at the end of his life, maybe you have read it too, when he was at the end of his life, and then they asked him how that it was now with acceptance of Christ and leaning upon Christ for time and for eternity, then he said before the gates of death, he said, if you cut me open, he said, then there falls a pope out. There falls a pope out. That is now self-knowledge. Self-knowledge, people. And that is so deep in our heart. So deep. Oh yeah, it is ook something, people, always to walk through this world as a sinner and as a condemned sinner. And still, my dear people, still, I am an enemy of it with my whole heart, and you too, I know it. But still, that is now the way, that there is nothing left in our life and in our heart, that rejectable and condemnable in ourselves, shall Christ have value for our soul and for our heart, and that we are boasting only in him. As in that only Savior, in that only Mediator, in that only one who has merited salvation, but also in that only one
who applied salvation, and who shall apply that till the last moment in our life, because we need till the last minute the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, even over our prayers, even over all the desires of our heart. Oh, if the Lord gave me a desire in my heart to follow him, to have communion with him, to be in his presence, to lay at his breast, to glorify him, but then at the bottom of the people, there I am laying with my own intentions to become of something with it. Therefore, that burning spirit, people, that burning spirit that burned out everything of us, that is so necessary, that Christ shall dwell in our heart, and that we shall be rooted in the love of God. Thus, you can realize it is a strife, our whole life, people. And that strife that shall be to the last moment of our life. Thus, Christ is a complete Savior, or he is not a Savior at all. Thus now, what is the conclusion this evening? That we have to become nothing, and that we find in ourselves and in this world nothing else than emptiness, nothing else than deadness, nothing else than nothingness, and that we, by the grace of God, that we look up from ourselves entirely, entirely to look up from self. And then with Peter, when he was walking on the water, then he said, I pass, save me. And then there was ook no other one who could save him than Christ. But now to lay there all the time, and to stay there all the time in our life, that is something else. But still, that is to the honor and to the glory of God's precious name. And that Christ, that he received the excellent, and that he received the highest place in our heart, young and old, great and small. I shall stop for this evening and close this service. I hope young and old, great and small, that the Lord will be so merciful to you, and so lovely to you, and so good to you, that where that you go, and where that you will be, that you find nothing else than death and condemnation. I hope. And come to that point in your life that Paul said in Ephesians 2, without God in the world. And then the world falls away with all the lust thereof. But then it become in our heart children, boys and girls, men and women, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Er was in de days of Augustine een churchvader, een bishop. And that man, he said once in his life to Augustine, he said, the Lord have learned me and instruct me to ask, Lord, be merciful to me his sin. And I hope that I shall die with that prayer. And the Lord had given that man that privilege. People that was round about his deathbed that had heard that his last words were, God be merciful to me his sin. There is nothing left. Our righteousness falls all away. There is in us nothing that can please the Lord, nothing. But oh, now to find solution in that precious mediator and savior. And if they asked, what is your beloved more than an other beloved, that we can say all that is in him, that is lovely. He is my friend, daughters of Jerusalem, and with him, young and old, with him you can live, and with him you can die. And when the hour of death shall come, this may be this coming night, this may be tomorrow, this may be this week, but when it took was would be, oh, that we die in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on his lips and laying on his breast. That is salvation. That is salvation. Oh, you must well be jealous this evening and say, Lord, bring me. Oh, Lord, take me up and bring me to him to lay at his feet. And that he takes me up and that I am hanging up on his lips because grace is poured out into his lips. And then he shall be so lovely and so friendly to our souls, and then soon to be taken up there where no enmity shall be there against him, but where we shall praise and glorify him as the gift of the Father, and as that only mediator and savior, and that it be our portion. And we will close with that this evening, that it be our confession and our life. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. Lord, bless the few words spoken in this Sabbath day and in this evening hour. Oh, that it was provision on our traveling to that great and ever-ending eternity through this the desert of this world, which is nothing else for thy people as a veil of tears. Remember the uncomforted in our midst, oh Lord, that they find nothing as death and condemnation where they go and where they come. and that they may understand by the grace of the Lord, by thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light we see light. Remember the whole congregation, also in the week that lay before us. Look upon us from on high, that our life as Christ, then our death shall be gained. Take us under thy care and protection, for accidents, for harms, for sin, and give grace to walk in thy ways. Hear us, for thy great name's sake. Amen. Number 186. Though I am poor and sorrowful, hear thou, O God, my cry. 186. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion
of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.